Vernomatic Productions.
Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website,
MetalMayhemROC.com.
Or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
A proud member of the Pantheon podcast team.
It's getting nice and heavy.
Now, welcome our hosts, John the Vernomatic Verno, direct from New Jersey, Metal Walt, and from the band Motor Lord, Ian O'Rourke.
Good evening, everybody. As always, new content's dropping on a weekly basis, sometimes daily. Things are crazy up here at Metal Mayhem ROC, but tonight we're here to celebrate April Fool's Day with a really fun episode. We have the entire team together. Myself, Metal Walt, Ian O'Rourke, Bill the Rager, Southern Kale, and we even have the new kid, Vinyl Vince McDowell. We're here to bring you a cool April Fool's Day show wrapped around a unique kind of talking point. Metal Walt will tell you about it in just a second. It's a fun one. Just want to remind you and invite you to get up to MetalMayhemROC.com. Sign up for our newsletter. Now, what this is our way of staying in touch with you about everything we're doing up here. The YouTube channel, we have interviews around the clock up there. We have blogs going on, CD reviews, concert reviews. I'm doing a radio show on Metal Devastation Radio on Monday nights. So there's a lot going on. And on top of it, this May, next month, we will be celebrating our five-year anniversary. And we're rolling out a brand new merch page with tons of merch for you to gobble up and wear in the summer of 2024 when you're going to all those concerts. So it's exciting things. MetalMayhemROC.com. Okay, well, let's get into this. Metal Walt, what's the show about? What are the parameters? And what are the rules? What do you got, buddy?
Well, the only thing we agreed on is setting the criteria for this episode. And because there's so many similarities that are close to hard rock and heavy metal, we ruled a couple categories out. So you're not going to hear anything about classic arena rock bands, no southern rock bands, and no heavy blues bands. Everything else is fair game, no matter what it is, what format, what kind of music, or maybe it's not music at all. So, Bill, you had an interesting concept. Explain your concept to us.
Well, you know, sometimes when you're jamming metal all day, you end up with metal fatigue. You know, it's like when I'm at work, I'm painting and I'm listening to music all day long. And sometimes I'm listening to metal for hours on end, but then I need to change a pace. So I switch it over to something mellow like Edie Brickell and New Bohemians or Stevie Nicks, in particular album, Rock a Little. And as far as Edie Brickell goes, the way I discovered that's actually pretty funny. I was on tour with Cannibal Corpse on the Tomb of the Mutilated tour, and the sound guy, Stan, used to tune in the PA system by playing that record, Edie Brickell, Ghost of a Dog, which is, you know, it's like Americana kind of, I don't know, mellow, very mellow. It's not metal at all. And I remember asking him one time, like, what is that? What are you jamming there? And he's like, oh, it's Edie Brickell. And I just, it kind of grew on me, you know, and after a while, after some metal all day, that's a good change of pace for me.
Ian, well, what do you got in your history of non-metal stuff?
I got a couple songs here. Didn't particularly pick any artist albums because I listened to, on the side, a lot of 70s soft rock because it's just something that has a nostalgic feel. So the first song I wanted to share with everybody is the song September by Earth, Wind, and Fire. And if you've ever been driving in your car and that song comes on, you can't help but to dance along and sing along with the song while you're driving. The second one that's always been a favorite since I was a wee lad is Three Dog Night, Mama Told Me Not to Come, which is probably just one of the funnest, coolest songs ever written with some great vocal harmonies. The last one is a personal favorite. It is the Little River Band, Reminiscing. And that's another one that, you know, it brings me back to my childhood every time I hear it. You know, it comes on the radio, and I can remember driving around in my mother's 75 Malibu, having that thing cranking on AM radio. So,
well, Ian, that's it, because a lot of it brings back a memory of a time in your life, whether it was, you know, high school years or maybe the formative years when you first heard music, and a lot of it comes from our childhood, right? What was played around the house, maybe what your mom and dad or your grandpa was playing, or in a lot of cases, it was that AM radio that was on in the car. And a lot of the time, you know, back then, songs are repeated over and over and over. You would hear the same top 40 hits in the car four, six times a day, right? So it's like it was just embedded in you innately.
Exactly. And that, I could have had a laundry list of 70s soft rock stuff that it just, whatever you hear it, you know, I mean, from, you know, what's his name, Paul Simon to, you know, ABBA and everything in between. So.
Vince, you're a little younger than us, I think. What are you? Well, maybe a couple of years. But what do you listen to today that isn't, you know, anything that's not metal or classic rock?
I have three that made a big initial impact on me, which is the reason why I started following them. My first one is, like, back in 2009, Thanksgiving Eve, the biggest party night of the year. Of course, I didn't have a party to go to. So I just remembered on the radio that they were advertising this band that I heard a little bit about. And I figured, what the hell, I'll grab a ticket. So I managed to somehow get a floor ticket next to the soundboard. The sound guy is spraying sage all across the sound equipment. The place is absolutely packed. The smell of marijuana is in the air. And all of a sudden, this band called Fish start to play. Now, I had very little to no experience with this band whatsoever. I just went because I had the time, they were there, and I heard many good things about them. And I think that actually would help me appreciate the band more, because I had no idea what I was getting into. These long-ass jams were just, that must be the song. Like, I understood that they were a jam band, but seeing it and then the experience that they had with the crowd reaction and the way they could just go off on some faraway thing from the original song and bring it back to the song or even meld into another song. It was just, it blew me away. And from that point on, Fish was my introduction basically into the jam band. It got me into the Grateful Dead. It got me into Widespread Panic and Umphrey's McGee. And I like their fearlessness. They'll play anything on their set list, they'll play from their history, they'll play. And I wish more metal bands would do that. I think, unfortunately, a lot of metal bands are just so rigid in the songs they want to play that it's like, if you see a, you know, so-and-so band, you know what they're going to play. You basically know what they're going to play, except for the odd, you know, deep cut. But I appreciate the jam band because they're fearless. They'll play anything. You might not even hear your favorite song five times when you go see them. But that's what I enjoy about it. It's like a brand new experience. It's a new show every time. And that's just something that I feel as a music lover who loves to listen to everything, like just to be that wide open. Like, music shouldn't be a job. You shouldn't have to be set to this set list. And that's, you know, that's what Fish did for me. Another big band for me was another initial experience was, in 2002, again, on a whim, someone had an extra ticket to this concert. The tailgate was absolutely outrageous. People were partying their asses off. Everyone was just having a great time. We get to the concert. There's a torrential downpour. There's a lightning storm. And I'm sitting there soaked, listening to a guy singing about boat drinks. And that guy was Jimmy Buffett. And I'm telling you, that day and that experience, I'm not going to lie, it made me a Parrothead. Other than two or three other bands, that's probably the guy I've seen the most in concert. And I know he's gone now, so I'm glad I had those experiences. But once I got into him and I started listening to his music, and, you know, once you get past the Margaritavilles and stuff like that, he actually wrote a lot of great songs, which is what I appreciated. But it was the communal experience, much like jam bands, with everyone was just there to have a great time. There was no other, you know, there was just there to be a great time, to have a, you know, be young again, just chill and listen to great, you know, beach music. So Jimmy Buffett is actually, I still listen to him all the time. It's a great, like Bill alluded to, nothing makes Cannibal Corpse hit harder than after you listen to about an hour of Jimmy Buffett. Like Cannibal Corpse is like, wow, now I can, you know what I mean? So it's like a cleansing of the palate, and it makes everything after that hit much harder. So Jimmy Buffett also was a big influence on mine. And my last is, being a child of the, you know, 80s, MTV was a big thing. So the two big shows were obviously Headbangers Ball, and the other one was Yo MTV Raps. And with the group of friends I was with, rap was the thing. Now, being a metalhead, obviously I was a little hesitant to listen to it. I had, you know, my issues. But this one band came on and I saw the video. It was Black Steel and the Hour of Chaos. And that band was Public Enemy. And once I put on It Takes a Nation of Millions, that album is probably still in my top 10 all time of all music. It was like the Black Sabbath of rap. Like, they talked about political things. They weren't talking about, you know, B-boy stuff. Political, hard-hitting, just a wall of sound. And that also got me more into, you know, the rap genre. Granted, the last decade or two has been very poor with the rap genre, but there's still a few I pick from now and then. But rap music was really big. It was basically side by side with me with metal and rap for probably about a good decade. So of the non-metal, those are probably the three biggest that had the biggest emotional impact on me, and I still listen to today.
Now, Vince, I could say in the jam band category, I mean, it's not in my list, but I do appreciate the Dead, saw them a bunch of time, but I think one of our favorites that we collectively share is anything Les Claypool related, because, again, they're a quirky avant-garde rock band, but then he turned into a jam artist on his own. I go to see him anytime he's through, whether it's at Primus or one of his other bands, because he's always reinventing himself into something different, bringing different musicians in, different style of music, you know, playing these shows, covering classic albums or whatever, and that falls into that category as well.
Yeah, that's another reason. And of the rock metal genre, if you want to call them, the only band I know of, which is another reason why they're one of my absolute favorites, is Clutch. Clutch will play anything from their history at any point in their concert. I've seen them probably about 15 times, and no concert's been the same. And like I said before, I just wish more metal bands would have to be brave enough to do that. Or even just extend a song or two. Like, imagine like Metallica being up there and just decide, let's just jam up here for a little while. Let's see what we can do. Like, imagine Hetfield just going off on a riff for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, and Kirk noodling. Like, I don't even mean to say they do it all the time, but just to get out of that rigidness. You know what I mean? That's why I really appreciate stuff like that.
Metal Mayhem ROC.
Metal. I'm Metalhead.
Metal Mayhem ROC is the home for metal from the very beginnings.
This is James DeBear from Hellstar. You're listening to Vernomatic.
Dave Overkill from the Cleveland band Destructor. Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great.
To longtime headliners.
Hey, this is Red Beach from Whitesnake.
Hey, this is Vinny Appice from Dio, Black Sabbath, and Last in Line.
To music of today.
Hi, this is Olaf Wikstrand from Enforcer.
Hi, this is Braun from Mastodon.
You're listening to Metal Mayhem ROC.
With John the Vernomatic Verno.
Plus, we talk with producers and authors to give you behind-the-scenes info.
Hi, this is William Irwin, author of The Meaning of Metallica, Ride the Lyrics.
Greg Renoff, the author of the book Van Halen Rising, and the Ted Templeman book, A Platinum Producer's Life in Music.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Metal Mayhem ROC,
a proud member of the Pantheon podcast team.
Giving you more to listen for. Join our community. And always remember to keep it heavy.
Well, I think you were up next.
Yeah, so, I mean, I have a lot of things I could touch on, but I'm going to focus on a couple here. So, you know, my first love ever in music was let's call it the new wave classic rock band, The Police. But I'm not going to talk about The Police. But maybe one of the bands I appreciate is the early Sting solo albums. He put out two albums when he left The Police. It was a trio. Then he went into this jazz, you know, band, and he released the albums Dream of the Blue Turtles and Nothing Like the Sun in the late 80s. And those, to me, are masterpieces because they're nothing like the Police. He's now got an organist. He had Branford Marsalis in there, Omar Hakim on drums, Kenny Kirkland on keyboards. And it was like my favorite artist at the time trading in this sort of rock punk sound, and he's playing acoustic guitar in front of this jazz band. It was just so out there. I appreciated it. I went to those tours. Nothing Like the Sun. He got even bigger with that, expanded the band. He got into more, let's say, worldly beats, a little more African music, some, you know, Latino type music. He was, and that carried his career for a while. Believe me, I don't think he's put out a good album in many, many years, but that was a period of time where he was at the top of his game. And I love that stuff till to this day. The other band that I discovered a little later in life, probably maybe 20 years ago, I kind of heard him. I don't know where I heard him, whether it was on like satellite radio, but it was an instrumental band. And I said, what is this stuff? It's like kind of part jazz, part jam band. And it was like really quirky and weird. And I figured out who it was. And it's a band called Medeski, Martin, and Wood. John Medeski on keyboards, Billy Martin on drum, and Chris Wood on bass. These guys are masters of their crafts in primarily the jazz world, but as a trio, they formed this avant-garde jazz jam band. They got probably like 20 studio albums out. It's all instrumental. It's all background music. Anybody that loves instrumentation, weird sounds, all kinds of global beats, and just fantastic players, try it out. It's good stuff. It takes your mind into like a way different place. It's almost like if you were picking up a Pink Floyd Animals album and or going back to the early Obscure by Clouds album where they're really tripping out. This is the kind of music that it is. And then maybe my last entry is, again, a different one, a fun one, is, you know, I always appreciated the late 70s disco period because, again, it goes back to the childhood. But one of the guys I've always had a fascination with was Nile Rodgers of Chic. The guy is a magnificent guitar player. He plays that Fender Strat, but he's also written so many hit songs through the years, whether it's in Chic or Madonna or Daft Punk or David Bowie, Sister Sledge, Duran Duran. You go down the line, you don't realize how many hit songs this guy has penned that you would say, oh yeah, well that's Madonna singing that song. Yeah, Madonna, she performed that song. He wrote the song. He wrote the music. He wrote the lyrics. He was behind it all. It said something like a stat like, you know, he's involved with something like $500 million worth of top singles that have been sold globally. A couple years ago when he opened up for Duran Duran, I finally got a chance to see him at the Garden. It was one of the coolest shows I've ever seen. He just ripped. He sang great. People were dancing all over the place. He had a saxophone player, drummer, keyboard player. The crowd was going fucking crazy. And to this day, whenever I hear that stuff, it's just good shit. So those are my three entries. My honorable mention would be, it's not a band, but I love the category of old blues musicians. Robert Johnson, Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, John Lee Hooker, Albert King, those guys. I love to put on the XM sometimes on a Sunday morning. They have this backyard channel on, and you hear the guys that started all that stuff for us in rock back in the turn of the century, the teens, the 20s, mono recordings. That stuff is awesome when you really break it down. You don't have to love it for what it is, but you listen to it and you're like, this is the earliest recordings ever put on, let's say, on to be documented. And it's really, really good shit. So that's my category in my list, guys.
Didn't you say at the beginning, no Southern rock, no blues?
Well, I said no hard rock blues.
Okay.
So what I mean by that is no Eric Clapton's, no Joe Bonamassa's, none of those guys, no Kenny Wayne Shepherd's. Let's not forget, this is why we go outside of the box to listen to the Buffets of the world and the jam bands of the world and the Medeski, Martin, Woods of the world and whatever Verno's going to tell us he listens
to. Yeah, let me get out of the box and like what Ian did. Mine's going to go back to my youth. And, you know, I'm a proud, hard-carrying member of the 70s. I had an older aunt that was very younger. She was only 10 years older than I. So we hung out with her and her friends, and with, like I mentioned before, not even realizing what I was hearing. It was the metal stuff. But the like Ian said, it was that soft, there was that soft rock of the 70s. Carly Simon, I absolutely love Carole King. I remember this is my first entry. Started with the Jackson 5, and it was Michael Jackson. And I remember watching cartoons. They had a cartoon on the Saturday mornings, Jackson 5, and talk about a hit factory. Oh, my God, the Jackson 5 is just, you know, one after another. And they, and I just to the, you know, led my appreciation and fandom for Michael Jackson all the way up to the end. I had a chance to see that Victory Tour. It was in 19, yeah, and it was me and the family went because we were fans, and there was nothing like that. They filled Rich Stadium in 1984. Tickets were $30, and it was just a spectacle. So Michael Jackson's on my list. Another band, and it's funny, I tell the story to my sons, and Bill's part of this. I was a closet Genesis fan, and when we were young, I couldn't admit to that because, you know, we were young, you know, like, and no disrespect to Bill, but they're, you know, all longtime buddy. I couldn't come out and say I was a Genesis fan because, like, what the fuck, Vern? You know, Genesis. And, well, I remember summer of 1980 and the song Turn It On Again was all over the radio. And it was just, it was, you know, it was in my high school career, my high school years. And then, and it was summer of 1982, I had a chance to go see them. They had a date in the August of 82 for the Three Sides Live. And then they got the Phil Collins era came and, you know, Mama, whatever.
Dude, by the way, Genesis is a great band. And I wish back then you would have said something because I would have agreed and I would have went with you to that show.
Well, now that I'm in heavy metal confession, the skeleton closet goes deep because it was in 10th grade when Phil Collins came to town for a solo tour stop for the Hello, I Must Be Going. And I went alone. I still have the tour program. But that was great stuff. But it was the time. And so it's like I'm not, you know, piling on anyone. No, it was Bill and I were a little older. So we were metalheads. We were the dudes that walked around with like leather vests on when it was 70 or 90 degrees out and wearing boots and wearing jeans. We were those dudes. But we're here 40 years later in heavy metal confession. So.
Yeah, like we couldn't admit if we liked Loverboy back then.
Now, Loverboy, if I could get lucky, I love that album.
I do too. Now, back then, I didn't. I don't know. It was cool to say it was uncool.
Get lucky.
Oh, it was the name of the band was like, oh, Loverboy, really?
I know it was the bandana, the headband,
red pants.
But remember, that was that borderline stuff, you know, you had, you know, Lover Boy and you had some of those bands that were, they were just hard enough, but it was a little bit more pop, but it was fun because they still were rocking, you know, they played some good stuff.
Fast forward 8-10 years and we've had these discussions, hair or not hair. It's the same thing. But listen, we have one of our brothers that wasn't able to make it here tonight. Southern Cal, he's out, he's on assignment, but he sent in a, via satellite, his selection. So let's take a quick peek at this. Southern Cal on his list.
Well, good evening, Hell Rat. Southern Cal here. Duran Duran, I'm going to get right into this. You know, I got to see them with the wife. She dragged me up there to see him. We exchanged concerts, let's say. She likes to take me to shows, and I take her to my shows. And Duran Duran being one of them, and it was just a great experience. I'm in St. Augustine. If you dig deep, these guys have some good songs in there. The Reflex being probably my favorite Duran Duran song. So, you know, do a deep dive into these guys and see what they have to say. Just a great band, Simon Le Bon and the boys. Johnny Cash, the man in black. What can I say about this guy? Just a great influence on a lot of people, not only country artists, but let's say the psychedelic artists like Grateful Dead, who covered a bunch of their songs, Big River being one of them, and a big influence on the country scene, and many, many musicians to follow after that. The Man in Black, Johnny Cash. The next one up would be, I would say, probably Chick Corea. The band, the album After Forever, great tune on there called Some Time Ago. And, you know, I just happened to be in the right place at the right time with the right soundtrack playing in the background. Lance Reed, my brother, they all know, traveling on the Ontario State Parkway, heading up to Hamilton to see the Grateful Dead. Vern, the Vernomatic, knows he was detained at the border the next night. They thought he was running all the drugs up to us the next night. Chick Corea, After Forever, the song Some Time Ago. Another great band. Do a deep dive into these guys. Duran Duran, Johnny Cash, Chick Corea. Thanks, guys.
Wow. Johnny Cash, Duran Duran. Here we are talking about video bands. Well, what do you think of what Cal has to say on this?
Well, I mean, I talked about Nile Rodgers and Chic. They opened up for Duran Duran, so good choice. But his surprise pick was Chick Corea, the jazz artist. I mean, way out there. Wouldn't have expected that one, but I totally appreciate that. So listen, I'm sure just like all of us, the list can go long. We could go on and on and on. And as we've had this discussion opening up over the last hour, I can see the excitement in the five of us, and we probably would prefer to be like, oh yeah, wait, but just one more, and I got this one, and what about that song? And you know, it just shows the passion for the music, even from a different angle, even from a different period of time. And this has been fun, guys.
I have one question, though, Bill. Now, piggybacking on what Vince had to say, and like Cal, too, I had my moments where I've seen a few Grateful Dead shows. Did you ever go see the Dead? And granted, I was there for the party.
I did not.
Yes.
I did not see the Dead. And I had many chances to. I just didn't for whatever reason. And then Jerry died. But since then, I've seen... what's his name? Oh my God.
Bobby Weir.
Bob Weir several times. I've seen, I've seen a bunch of jam bands since then.
Yeah.
So let's put it that way. I just saw Widespread Panic on Sunday.
Nice.
And the comment, the official comment on Cal talking about me getting caught at the border. The rumor is true. The thing was, it was Hamilton, Ontario, two shows at Cops Arena in the March of 1990. I was going through the border with my Dan Marino jersey on, my afro out to here, and the guy's like, where are you going? I'm like, the Grateful Dead show. He's like, all right, just pull it over. And I was there a couple hours. But contrary to reports, I was not transporting cannabis over international lines.
Very good.
I have to add something real quick to comment on Vern, Walt, and Cal. I own on original vinyl Duran Duran 7 and the Ragged Tiger, Genesis Abacab, and Sting Dreaming of Blue Turtles.
Yes.
I own them. Those are part of my life from back then.
Well. Like Walt said, we could go on all night, but you know, it's not a joke. It's April Fool's, but it's not a joke that metal fatigue does happen, metalheads. And if that happens, then go dig something out of the catalog from your youth. Go get out of your comfort zone and just always remember you can always come back to the metal stuff and you can enjoy
That's
it
right.
all. Like Vince said, it's all music and we love it all. All right, for the entire Metal Mayhem crew, Metal Walt, Ian O'Rourke, Bill the Rager, Vinyl Vince McDowell, and Southern Cal, I'm the Vernomatic, and we are Metal Mayhem ROC.
My name is Rio, and I'm dancing on the sand.
Metal for life.
Thank you for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our website at metalmayhemroc.com for information on podcasts, archives, links to all our live radio shows, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. And always remember to keep it heavy.